It's just my interruption, sir. Well, what a wonderful stature it is to be a kohen. Somebody once came to the rabbi and said, I want to become a kohen. I'll pay you whatever it costs. A man once said to the rabbi, I'll pay whatever it costs, I want to become a kohen. And the rabbi said, it doesn't work like that. You don't pay to become a kohen. He says, but I want to be a kohen. My grandfather was one, my father was one, so I want to be one. Well, it is something which is a privilege handed down, but it's a responsibility as well. I'm delighted to see some kohenim here today. It's written in the Rokeach that the name Aaron is mentioned 300 times in the Torah, and if 300 kohenim would stand at Har HaZeisim and Duchen, that will help to bring along the Mashiach. That's the minhag in Yerushalayim. Nowadays, Chol HaMoed, there's always a very big gathering of kohenim for the Duchening.
But it's not Har
HaZeisim. No. Midrash. The Midrash Tapir says, Rabbi Chun, Nechunya ben Akona Omer, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Lichsiv, Voyokashe Yorim Moshe. What does it mean by when Moshe held up his hands that we were successful? The whole world is maintained as a result of the Birchas Kohanim. That's how important Duchening is. The Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph says, Shalu Tamidav Es Rabbi Elozar Ben Shemoa. The pupils of Rabbi Elozar Ben Shemoa asked him, B'ma Erachta Yomim? He was an elderly man, and they said, by what zechus have you become so old? Amar Lahem, he said to them, V'lo Nasasi Kavi V'lo Brocha. I always make sure when I gave Birchas Kohanim, I said the right Brocha. Ma'in Avarech, what was the Brocha? Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chisda, Asher Kishonu V'kdushaso Shel Aaron V'tzivonu, it's a good quiz question. That which bracha is there which says Asher Kedoshonu but not the word and the mitzvah sof straight afterwards? That is the bracha. And so the Torah brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down that is the nusach of the bracha. There are three questions I'd like to start with. This word, v'ahavo. Asher Kedoshonu v'kdushaso shel Aaron, we end off with Levareich es amo Yisrael ba'ahava, with love. Well, we all know what ba'ahava means, with love. But why dafka with birchas kohanim, with love? Every mitzvah should be done with love, whether it's tzitzis, tefillin, sukkah, we should do everything with love. This is for love as Hashem, to love Hashem. So what is the whole idea of birchas kohanim being the only bracha which ends up with the words ba'ahava, with love? That's the first question. The second question is, what was Chazal's intention to add such a word, to insert such a word at the end of the bracha? And thirdly, what practical din comes out from it? L'halacha. So the first thing is, what does ahava mean? What does love mean? There are really two kinds of definitions of love. Number one, love being chavivus, endearment, the opposite of hate. Love as we know it to be. And there's a pasuk in Kehelet, Shamava Gam Sina. Echiba Gedola. In Shia Shirim, chapter 5, verse 6, Ki Azok Kamos Avo. There's an idea of love. However, a lot of people think they understand what love is, and they don't really know what love is. And the Sefer Lev Eliyahu, Rav Elia Lapkin, warns that the understanding of the word is often not clear cut. And he quotes as an example the pasuk Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel, and Yaakov loved Rachel, or the Hoyok Deinov Kayomim Achadim Vavosar. So it was like a few days in his loving her for working for so many years. And he said, Chas v'shalom, the people should ascribe to this idea of love what simple people mean, or what the Hollywood people mean by it. We don't really know exactly what love is, but love is a very deep form of respect as well as endearment. And that when the Kohen is duchening, he has to have Avas Yisrael. He mustn't hate anybody. He mustn't be broigus with anybody, with the tzibur, with individuals. That's a point we'll discuss later. Then there is another idea of what ahavo means, and that is that the word ahavo comes from the word hativeis, which means to give. Hovu godel lelokeinu, hovu lashem b'neinu, hovu lashem kavod v'oz, as we say, tilim kaftes, hovu godel einu is from hazinu, that there is a desire of a person to give unconditionally to another person. And that desire to give is the root of ahavo. You could say they're complementary to each other. They're almost synonymous with each other. But it's not necessarily the case. The Sefer Be'er Shovah says that the ahavo in the duchenin is the giving, that one is giving a bracha and one is not expecting anything in return. And so when it says in Parshas Noso, the Nusach, it says, Omar Lohem, say to the Kohanim, and it's a full word, that is a hint to the idea of giving. So Hashem is saying to the Kohanim, you know, when I'm asking you to bench Klal Yisrael, you mustn't do it in a forced or pushy way or in a rushed way. Shetim avokim v'kavonas halev. You should do it from the heart. Kedei shetishlot habrochomem, that this bracha should be overwhelming. And the Tanchuma says, not the word shetishlot, but shetaflim. It should be complete. And therefore, the implication from the Midrash is that Ahavo is something with endearment. It's with the heart. The Magen Avraham brings down the Zohar, Sifkot Yudches, and says this must be something to do with Chavivos, with love. He says, any Kohen, Dilo Rachim La'amo, these are the words from the Zohar, or Amo Lo Rachmin Le, Lo Yisois Kachom. If the Kohen hasn't got this feeling of love for the Tzibur, and they haven't got the feeling for him, he shouldn't duchen. He should leave before and say, walk out, and not duchen at all. So the Atiris Akeinim says, a Kohen who hates the community which he davens, I don't know why he davens there. He should go on the desert island where there are always two shuls, one where he davens and one he doesn't daven in. But if a Kohen hates the Tzibur for any reason, or he's broigus with somebody, or vice versa, that he knows that he is not liked, he shouldn't duchen. Why shouldn't he duchen? It's a mitzvah sasei, but he has to duchen when the word kohen is called. He's got a chiyuv midaraisa to go up there and to duchen. So Teres HaKeinim says, the yesh l'kohen has a sakona gedola. It's a great danger for him, kashu ola l'duchen. If he goes up to duchen at a time when he is despised by people, it's not simply a halacha in him. It's a sakono. It's a danger for him and his life that he should do something like this when he is hated. And this is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch Harav Yud Tes. Sakoni hilakoin are exact words. Im yisokavo. And that's why the bracha has to be v'ahavo. The nusach of the bracha. So do we say that it's osur and forbidden to the kohen if he is hated or if he hates? And therefore he must leave. He has to leave, because otherwise people will say there's a pagam about him, he's a son of a divorced woman, or something like that. So if he's not duchening, he has to go out. So do we say it's osur for him, or do we say no, it's not osur for him, because there's still a mitzvah for him to go up. But if he goes up and he performs the mitzvah, we're not compelling him, because there is a danger. And we say, chamirot satantot meyisura. A danger for a person is more prominent and taken more seriously than an issur, as it says in Chul and Daf Yud. On the other hand, you might say, Shiluchi mitzvah ain't on nizoki. People are going to carry out a mitzvah, they don't come to any harm. Like you say, Psochim, if Chometz falls in a pile and you're in danger of getting to it, and you might cause harm, Lo Chashino Mesakona, you're not going to be in danger because you're doing a mitzvah. But there are differences between different kinds of dangers. In the case of a pile falling on top of you, there's a real imminent physical danger. Whereas here, we don't really know. It's a foggy concept to know what danger might befall the Kohen. So maybe you should be more careful. But one doesn't avoid a mitzvah. If one has to do a mace mitzvah, burying the dead, and there might come some sakana from it, then one should annul the sakana with other segulos, like certain pesukim. Vayomer Hashem el ha-soton, one says pesukim, to annul any effect that the soton might have. The lashon which is used is lo yisois kapon, not that osur lo to duchen, and so the Shulchan Aruch notes this. And therefore he says, even if he is despised, maybe he should dukhun, especially if we're only talking about a single individual. If one person doesn't like him, or if he doesn't like one person, then the minhag is perhaps, okay, he goes up. But other poskim say he should leave, regardless. So the Kesos HaShulchan in Kaf Gimel Kaf Beis says he should leave. Kaf HaChaim says, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings this down, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this down. But certainly says that the Kasam Sofer on the Magen Avraham, if he hates the Tzibur as a whole, then he definitely may not go up. And if it's only one person who is hated, well, it's mashma that it's probably okay. But if he finds a reason not to go up, the halacha suggests he might still do so. But it's a missed opportunity, says the Pelei Yaretz, because he's still got the zechus to go up. Now, if he goes up and he says to himself, I'm broigus with so-and-so, with Moshe Pipik, and I have in mind that my bracha does not extend to him, but it extends to everybody else, then he's made a bracha levatara. That is another issue. So, the Kohanim have a big duty to be on good terms with everybody, and everyone has to be on good terms with them. So, there's smiles all round. That's good. It's interesting to note that duchening takes place every day in Eretz Yisrael. But here, we're being really bad off in Chutz Laaretz, in England or wherever, that we don't get the duchening except on Yom Tov. Why is this? Why don't we be zoche to have the bracha from the Kohanim every single day? Here in Chutz Laaretz, actually, Sfardim do duchen regularly. But generally speaking, the Ashkenazim, on Shabbos, regularly on Shabbos. But in Eretz Yisrael, the duchening takes place every day. There are a number of answers given to this. Number one, we don't have the same degree of simcha b'chutz laaretz. When a person is in the land of Israel, he's happy, he's got kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and that instilled in him the ability to duchen, because the kohen has to be in a state of simcha, and he mustn't be in a state of shikrus, and he mustn't drink a revius of wine. He must be in a state of happiness in order to bestow his bracha upon others. And that simcha you only really get when you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Well, we'll deal with the next bagel share about the living in Israel aspect. But the simcha, the chutzorit, does not exist. And even on Shabbos, you say, even on Shabbos, people might be worried about their work, about this and about that. They still don't have on Shabbos the same degree of simcha like you would if you would live in Eretz Yisrael. There are other reasons given that Kohanim always had the minhag to dip in the mikveh first, and in Chutz Laaretz, in the cold countries, especially in the winter, it was difficult. There's another idea that in Chutz Laaretz it's more possible that there might be non-Jewish people in the shul, and without wishing to sound racist, the pasuk says, Ho Sevocho B'nei Yisrael, and the idea is that the bracha is given to one's fellow Jews, and there should not be goyim in the shul present when the duchening takes place. If you have somebody, then at least they should be dalad abbas away.
What I'm trying to say is, it's almost 99.9%.
Well, you get these local civic services with the mayor of the council coming along and so on. That one doesn't duchen when the goyim are present. There is another idea given that we might not be so certain nowadays about Yichus HaKohanim, whereas in Eretz Yisrael there is more confidence that people have the Yichus to claim that they are Kohanim, but in Chutz Laaretz we nevertheless duchen, even if there is a doubt about Yichus, because we don't want to forget the practice of duchening. I remember as a child here in the north end in Adas, we used to duchen on Shabbos on Yom Tov. Shabbos Shechot B'Yomtov, and I remember once Rabbi Cooper stood up, this was in the late 1960s, and he said, I've looked into the sources and I cannot find any reason why we should not duchen on Shabbos which falls on Yomtov, hence now the minhag here to duchen on Shabbos on Yomtov, and this is in fact the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Ches, Kuf Samech Hei, who says there is no basis not to duchen on Shabbos which falls on Yomtov.
When did Adas do that?
Yeah, there are a number of shuls in the area which don't. There's also a difference in customs about whether the bachrim who are under the mitzvah, the kohanim bachrim under the mitzvah duchim. I know that currently the Rav does not encourage boys to duchim who are under the mitzvah, and there's a variety of minhagim about this. There's some.
You didn't actually say what the facilities of the university.
Hashem is not so. Talks about well, Bnei Yisrael, Omar Rahem. Yivarecha Hashem, Yishmerecha, Yah Hashem, Pono Velecha, Yifnecha, Yisrael Hashem, Pono Velecha, Yosein Lekosh Shalom. So the words are direct from the Torah, and even nowadays, Poskim say this is a Dinda Reis. Min HaTorah.
The frequency is
Chazal made the bracha and instituted various ideas behind it. There's of course they're washing hands and they don't wear the shoes and so on and so forth, but the actual mitzvah is min ha-Torah from Parshas Matan.
Is there also some source of value across here, shemini or something?
Yain v'sheicha al-tesht in Parshas Shemini. Don't drink wine, like when you come to the Ohel Moed, and that's the idea brought into the Duchening as well. Yes. Now, there's a number of rules relating to Kohanim. If a Kohen has ever killed somebody, he's not allowed ever in his lifetime to Duchen. If he's got blood on his hands, he may not raise his hands when he comes to the Duchening. But there are some interesting questions in the Shalas of Tshuvas, which I'll deal with briefly, because nobody here is a murderer. But what if a Kohen did kill someone? For example, let's say a Kohen was a soldier in Tzahal. If a soldier in Tzavah Ganod Yisrael had to carry out his duties, and as a result of that killed someone from the enemy, can he still duchen? The Shal is brought in the Yeshutzi Chavidos, volume 2 in chapter 14, and he explains that the Kohen may still carry on duchening afterwards. The idea of being a soldier in Tzahal is, first of all, one is honest because one is threatened by the enemy and it's done to defend the state of Israel and its people. The thing is that it's like a Melchemes mitzvah. You have to go and do it. So when a Kohen kills somebody in action, that is not killing in the sense that Chazal meant. And therefore, the Kohen who actually does kill somebody in active duty can still carry on duchening afterwards. What about if a Kohen is driving a car recklessly and kills somebody by accident? He didn't mean to kill. Can he then duchen after that as well? Pardon? First of all, did he kill a goy? Did he kill a yid? Let's say if he killed a yid, chas v'shalom, is it a Peshia? If it's negligence, then we say Peshia is Karav Lameses. According to also the Yechaved Das, he writes about this in his fifth volume, chapter 16, he says, although you might say Peshia Karav Lameses, Peshia means negligence, is close to Mazes, which means it's like intentional, therefore we shouldn't. Or do we say, look, you know, he was driving carefully and the pedestrian ran in front of him without looking, and then you can't say it's Peshia, it's negligence. It's like shogeg, and shogeg, in unintentional, is kind of la'ones. It's like as if I couldn't help it. And therefore he does distinguish between the two. He distinguishes between if the fellow was driving recklessly and was somebody who should have been arrested for dangerous driving, then he should not duchen afterwards. He is responsible. But if it was completely unintentional and he was driving carefully and it happened beyond his control, especially if he does teshuvah afterwards, it's okay. The prima godin is machmir. The Ramos says it's okay, and therefore the minag is to do so. The Sheva Halevi, Rav Ozna asks the question in his first volume, chapter 43, what if he knocked over somebody in the accident and the person did not die straight away, but as a result of the accident sometime later passed away? He paskens on the basis of the Ramayana 7 Kukkav Chesif Lamed Hay that it's okay, particularly if a tshuva has been done, and the Magen Avraham also makes the point if the person does not die straight away. Tzitz Eliezer discusses it in his 14th volume, chapter 60, in the Igros Moshe, in Yeradeyav 7 Kukkav. Sorry, what is that?
Did you not just say that even if he dies straight away, he will do
it? If a person died straight away, if he was driving recklessly, recklessly, then he should not duchen anymore.
So he asked me, if he drove recklessly and the person died a while afterwards?
If he died a while afterwards, then it's not so direct. And if he has done a clear-cut teshuva, then there are certain poskim who say he may duchen afterwards. Really, somebody who's Mechal of Shabbos shouldn't really duchen, although it goes on in many shuls. And Igros Moshe discusses this in Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Gimel, that we are Mechal nowadays because people are Mechal of Shabbos. They don't do so because of taiva, because of lust, or because of avodah zara. They might do so because of lack of understanding and knowledge, or because they think they have to open up their Shabbos Shabbos. So he tends to go more lenient, but ideally one does not. There's an interesting custom we have on Yom Tovim to say certain quiet prayers at the time of each of the three sections. And this is to cancel out any bad dreams which one might have had. We once discussed dreams before. And the Kohanim have the minhag to draw out with a tune, a nigun, to enable people to say these prayers. And it's a very strong way. The minhag is something which one shouldn't do away with, although there are sources who don't like it because it's like a hefsek, it's an interruption. Now, the Taras Chaim says it's really a hefsek, and really this idea is meant to be when you duchen every single day, like in Eretz Yisrael. So if you had a bad dream during that previous night, then when you duchen in the morning, you say a form of hatovas chalom to cancel out any bad effects of the dream. But Yom Tov, why should, you know, every so often you say this when the dream you might have had 3 months ago. So he says, only if you had a bad dream should you say this. But the Magen Avraham brings down in Siman Kuf Lamed at the beginning that he disagrees, that on Yom Tov we have this minhag as well. And the Pri Chodesh looks upon it again as a sakana, that if a bad dream is going to cause you harm, and therefore, by saying Hatovas Chalom, you're going to save yourself from a sakana. It's worth doing this, but you shouldn't say the words at the time when the Kohanim are saying their words. When the Kohanim actually say their Vichu Neko, or Shalom, or whatever it is, then you shouldn't be saying, you should be quiet. There are, in fact, other occasions when we say Birchas Kohanim. The minhag is, even people are not Kohanim say it, although this shocked once when a certain rav heard that my parents were benching me on Friday night, and the benching on Friday night is a very worldwide custom brought down in many sources. But there was one rav saying, is your father a Kohen? No. But why does he do it? And he was surprised about this custom. But it's a minhag b'chol shabbat says you saw it on Friday night for parents to bench their children with the same nusach of it. Similarly, on Erev Yom Kippur, there is a special minhag that parents bench their children before Kol Nidre. Another occasion when duchening takes place, but it is from the Kohen, is when there is a pidyon haben. Then the Kohen who has redeemed the child will do it. A further minhag, which is brought down in the Matei Moshe, is when one accompanies a guest to the door, to the gate, to the entrance to the town. It's a kind of levaya in the living sense, a great mitzvah. It's a minhag to say Yivrech Hashem v'yishmercha when you say goodbye to your guest. Also with Birchas Chasanim, there's a minhag to say in the Kriya Shema al HaMitzvah, because in advance of one's night it should annul any bad dreams, that it has a special effect in doing away with bad dreams. And there's also a minhag to say it when one says Tefas HaDerech on one's journey. Now why is it that the Chazan actually says the words first and then the Kohanim repeats it? The Kohanim, they know this by heart. Why should they have to be prompted by the Chazan? It's an interesting idea which is discussed in a Sefer Taras HaParsha. He says Amar Lohem, yeah, it's from the Pasuk Amar Lohem, that you are provoking a bracha, that whenever we want to have a bracha, we should do something to deserve it. We should provoke it. It's a message for all activities, that when we want to have a bracha, we should ask for it, we should provoke it. So that's what we're doing to the Kohanim, we're asking them for it. It's very important that when you are being duchened, non-Kohanim, please note, Zorim or whatever, it's very important that you should be facing the Kohanim. There is a common minhag to cover oneself with a talis because one doesn't look at the Kohanim's hands. People think that it's because the Shechina is on their hands. Halavai, the Shechina would be on their hands, because that's the way it is in the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, unfortunately, the Shechina is not on their hands, but the Minhag carries on, says the Mishnah Berurah, that we don't look at their hands. It's not possible to look at their hands. So the Minhag carries on, and hence the idea of covering up with a talis. But there are some who say that you shouldn't really cover up with a talis, because then you're not directly ponim el ponim, facing them, and you should be doing so. What is a very big mistake is what is seen sometimes if one is looking up at the ladies' gallery, which one should not be doing, and that some ladies seem to turn round and they turn their backs to the Kohanim, thinking that because they shouldn't look at the Kohanim, they'll turn their backs to them. The Yaivetz writes that nothing is more stupid than that, to turn one's back upon people who are giving you a bracha, and it is forbidden for them to do so.
In the Matzorim, it prints a pasuk next to each of the words of the bracha, which again is something mistakenly said, I think, and one shouldn't say.
The idea is to think those words. Right. One should not be saying anything when one hears the words of the Kohanim, although there is the minhag to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shema after they've said Hashem's name. Yeah. That is a...
Not many people do.
It is a universal minhag which is brought down, and it's not regarded as a hefsek. The Medrash in Parshas Noso talks a lot about Birchas Kohanim, and it speaks of Rochav, who was the non-Jewish woman whose profession was of ill repute, who opened her doors to provide hospitality to the spies in the story of Yehoshua. In the end, she converted to Judaism and she married Yehoshua. But the Midrash there says that because of her tzidkus, of righteousness, of looking after, of hospitality, she was rewarded by her future generations being married, not only to Nevi'im, 8 Nevi'im are listed in the Gemara in Megillah Yod-Dalet, but also to Kohanim. That the big reward, and the greatest reward for any Ger Tzedek who embraces Judaism, is that his descendants will marry his daughters descended from him will marry Kohanim. And the greatest reward is that those Kohanim will therefore be officiating in the Beis HaMikdash and blessing Klal Yisrael. Such is such a great zechus to be able to do such a thing of giving a bracha. That is a reward for Rachel, her descendants, and for Gerim in general.
I beg your pardon?
The Midrash there says that she had descendants.
Yeah, but
it
must be
after Yosher died. Maybe. After Yosher died. But she had descendants, daughters who married Kohanim. And the Perek Yudalev in Midrash Rabbah of Bamidbar. We started off talking about the importance of Kohanim, not to have any feeling of disdain for others, not to have any broigus with others. Look, we should never have broigus. We should never have any disharmony in the community. There is, though, the question that what if a rav of a Beis Din has put a person into nidui? What if this rav is a Kohen and he's put a person into nidui because of some bad behavior? Let's say a person refuses to give his wife a get. So the rav says to him, I put you into nidui, you are excommunicated. Can this rav, who is a Kohen, duchen such a person? Especially if he's now hated by that person. So poskim say, well, as what he has done is l'shem shemayim, that is not called sinot, that is not called hate. But because there is a worry about sakana, about danger and harm befalling the kohen, if he is despised by that person, better he goes and duchens in another shul. But in conclusion, we get from a very clear-cut message that just like there should not be any sin or any hatred between the Kohen and the Tzibur and between the Tzibur and the Kohen, because otherwise a bracha cannot take effect. So also between one Jew and another. And we're now in the 9 days, and the reason why we're in Golus is because of Sinas Chinam, which happened and caused the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So by improving on our relationships between other people, we will be zocheh to have the new Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and we will be having the Kohanim officiating as they have been before.
Shabbat Rabbi Lai for giving this shiur again this morning. A number of thank yous to John Taylor. helping arrange the paperwork this morning, going out and buying everything that was necessary whilst I was away. thank you for those who helped to the tables and lay out this morning as well. That was gratefully appreciated. The next bagel breakfast share that I can finally see in front of me will be Mr. Sherman the 11th of September. That will be for Mother Sheldon. The subject will be living in Earth as well. If anybody has a coming up or an anniversary coming up and would like to sponsor the next big breakfast share, please let me know.
Kani must say that they're blessing people with their love because they love the Am Yisrael. And I said, no, the Kani are blessing Am Yisrael, they shouldn't love. The Kani says, Am Yisrael, he blessed Am Yisrael, the Ahavo.
But the love should come from them.
They should have love between each other.
So
you're giving them a blessing. You're giving them a blessing.
Just like you say it. Like you say, you're saying Lechosh Shalom. That you're saying to them there should be peace between them. That's synonymous. Okay, thank you.
I think very much, you know.
Very nice.
This all is a strange, like you say, it's strange because no blocks do we add to it. You could see that there's some good stuff, isn't it?
Well, that's not it.
You need to add on
the very interesting, very strange.
I have always been in the army of things. The third rocket is the connection of the combination between the one and the other. When you make Havdalah, you take the yayin, which is the melech of Gashmi. You take the yayin, which is the simon of God. And you take an air of color, which is wax and flame, which is a combination of the two. Okay? Now you may think that's far-fetched, but there's a raya for it, because I said before, Birkas Kohanim is made up of 3, 5, and 7. Yeah? How many letters are in Yayin? The Sonnen?
5.
And Ner HaFala?
Ner HaFala. 7?
So it fits. I think that Chazal, we don't realize that Chazal must have had that in mind when they formulated the way that Havdalah exists or something. You know, that's very, very, because Havdalah, to me, Havdalah is the Birkas HaShavua. You know, like we say Kiddush on Friday night is the Kiddush. In fact, Chazal say, why can you say You don't make two mitzvahs together at the same time. So how come on when Yom Tov is a Motzei Shabbos, when Yom Tov is a Motzei Shabbos, you can say Kiddush and Havdalah together? You know, why don't you say
Kiddush on one cup and
Kiddush
on another cup?
Separately. Why? You know, because I'll say the thing is that Kiddush is Havdalah. They don't say the other way around. They say Kiddush is a Havdalah. It's a form of Havdalah. Right? They go, they call it the Kiddush. When you I think it's something very deep, very connected to Ruchnius and Gashmius, you know. When you take the words of the three prophets, so you say that the first prophet is for Gashmius, the second is for Ruchnius, and the third one is the combination of the two. But three and five are eight, right? They don't make seven, do they? Right? But the amazing thing is that the bracha is Yivarech HaVishmerech, right? The fact that we put the name of Abishtovi in it because it's Abishtovi who's giving the bracha, right? So if you take Yivarech HaVishmerech and you take Yoyer Ponov Elech HaVichonech, that's 2 and 4, which is 6, right? And if you take the name of Hashem out of the third one, right, it's also 6. So Rucha itself, if you combine the first
one, the Gashmias, the actual, the 7 is the Ruchnias.
No, what I'm saying is Yisra Hashem Ponov Elechov, Yisra Ponov Elechov, Yasem Lecha Shalom is also 6. In other words, the strange thing is that if you take the words of the bracha that coming from Habish Baruch Hu, right, without Habish Baruch Hu's name in, then the first and second do equal the third in terms of number of words, right? The two and the boy 6, and the third one is also 6. Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the, that's the one who's so to be giving the bracha. Right? It's not the bracha itself. Bracha itself is the birth of Yishmael, so you can combine it. You combine that way as well. Always, you know, the Balaturim says, "Kos Baruch Hu is coming." So, I mean, how they did it in those days, I don't know how they knew this, but he says the word bracha appears in the Torah 25 times. This is Kohei. And the word shalom appears 25 times. And I checked it on the computer.
Really?
Yeah. The only thing is I couldn't find the 25th one of shalom until I came here across Yavar Yaakov Shalom Yishkan. Salem Shalom Yishkan. That's the 25th occasion.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah,
really fascinating.
Incredible.
Maybe you can do a follow-up now on this.
It says Shishim, you mentioned about saying it's in Kirsah. Yes, it says Shishim, Gibarim, Sarayim, and Tosha Shoshlam, and Mirohachai Baleos. As I'll say, the Shishim Gibarim are the 60 letters of the Birkhas Kani, that we have them written around the world.
Very nice.
I mean, thank you for your
thank you.
Addition.
I owe you more.
I thought you were getting a question for you, sir. Did you not do
this? My cup is a bit short. Is that a question?
You shouldn't. I'll show you after I say to him. You shouldn't. But,